Alvy, if it's not too much to ask. In fact, why do I even need to ask at this point? Just do it, dude. Just do it. You know how they get when we don't do it? Welcome to the program. That is the Decca Yeah. If you're new to it. Yeah, that's Rex. That's Rex Lee, yeah. What's going on? Welcome to the program. I'm Jim Rome. What a wild night that was last night. We have a complete recap of that. Let's get to it. If you know what you want to talk about, you want to hit me right now because we are loaded. Loaded today. I've got an interview in hour number one. I have an interview in hour number two. I've got a big head bet segment in hour number three. That big mouth with the big heads already in. James Kelly already hyped. Not for the big head bet segment, but because his idol and mentor, Rex Lee, made the open. As we know, James Kelly likes like five things. Not even five people, like five things. Mike Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan, washing cars, washing dogs, and Rex Lee. James Kelly's like, dude, he dunked on you. He dunked on you. Hey, James. Eric in Orlando dunked on your ass. And he's hanging from the rim. And he brought down the glass. That's who dunked on somebody. Eric dunked on you, head. But Rex dunked on me. All right, all right. Rex Lee was at least an actor for 15 minutes. Eric doesn't fish on a boat, head. He fishes on a boat. And he dunks on you regularly. Get out of here with this crap, head. Just work on your picks. Make us some money. All right. With that said, here's how it sets up. Coming up at 9:40, Bucky Brooks from the NFL Network shares his thoughts on what he saw last night. 10:40, the new head coach at Alabama, Kalen DeBoer. Love it. And big head bets, top of hour number three. Alvy's week that was in hour number three. ATP, also in hour number three. How surreal is that? I mean, it's definitely surreal, I think, and I'll get into this with Kalen later on. Definitely surreal to see a couple of things. Number one, Nick Saban as an analyst, but not the head coach at Alabama. That's surreal. Number two, Bill Belichick as an analyst and not mumbling his way through some presser, but all of a sudden enunciating. And not only enunciating, but enunciating and tearing apart a draft pick that he had to know the Pats were going to make. All of a sudden, this guy's Winston Churchill. Hey, man, look at Drake May. Look at his footwork. It's terrible. All of a sudden, we can understand every single word. And this guy's stringing sentences together. He's like the life of the party. I had no idea this guy could enunciate. Nor did I know that he could sling lava. But when he does those two things, it all comes together, doesn't it? How rich is it that this guy's out here killing a quarterback selection made by the Patriots? When we saw what he did after he ran Bacon 45 off. And by the way, that guy fell into his lap and then he didn't have to worry about a quarterback for 20 years.
That was awesome.
And the one he did draft to replace him started off so well and looked like he'd be great, only to run him right into the ground. But he's already got a take on the next quarterback, the first quarterback after he's gone. That's rich. All right, so I don't want to get ahead of myself. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. Got a certain energy. Things are coming together for the show, for the X launch, for other things. Got that good energy. Be a part of it. Get on the phone. Hit me up right now. Once again, 1-800-636-8686. Hit me up on the aforementioned X platform at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at habitate.com. One more thought about Kalen DeBoer. It's amazing, right? It is and it's not. It's not amazing that he's the new Alabama head coach because he's a damn good coach. But we have been talking to him since he was at Fresno State. And that was, what, 5 minutes ago? From Fresno State to Tuscaloosa in about 5 minutes flat. And earned it. Via Seattle, where he crushed it. And Seattle was a big deal last night, wasn't Seattle. It? Which we will get to. Not that Seattle. Hey, Seattle.
Hey, Seattle.
How about Michael Penix Jr.? How about my namesake, Rome Odunze? Hey, Seattle. Anyway, let's get it. Get up in here. Wild, wild night, right? Now, it didn't start off that way, but man, it got nice, didn't it? Who doesn't have that draft dopamine pumping through them right now? I tried to warn you, too. I tried to tell you that this was about to become the Oprah Winfrey draft. And that's exactly what we got. You get a quarterback. You get a quarterback. You get a quarterback. You get a quarterback. Chicago gets a quarterback. Washington gets a quarterback. New England gets a quarterback. You all get quarterbacks. Minnesota, you get a quarterback. Denver, you get a quarterback. Everybody gets a quarterback. Even the Falcons. That sounded like Howard Dean more than Oprah. Yeah! Either way, six quarterbacks. There's a quarterback in Chicago and a quarterback in Washington and a quarterback in New England and a quarterback in Minnesota and a quarterback in Denver and a quarterback in Atlanta.
And Oregon and Washington and Michigan, and then we're going to Washington.
We all get a quarterback. They did, too. Six in the first 12 picks. I mean, beyond unprecedented. It's actually insane, and it's pretty awesome, at least for team content. Now, for Kirk Cousins, it might not be so awesome, but we'll circle back to that. First off, congrats Detroit for a great atmosphere, and congrats Chicago, you did not blow it. Congrats Chicago, you were not scared off by that nonsense or the nail polish.
Congratulations.
And you didn't just pick one absolute stud last night. You managed to get Prince, the quarterback, and Rome Odunze. Prince and Rome. It's like there's a super group forming in Chi-Town. The revolution is on. And for the record, you know me. I don't play favorites. I just don't. I never have. I never will. There are so many dudes to respect and appreciate that hit that stage last night. How could I play a favorite? And besides, again, I never play favorites, especially in an environment like that. But my favorite dude definitely was my namesake, Rome Odunze. I'll just say it. I love that dude. I love that guy. Everything about that guy. The way he shows up on and off the field. I don't think I've been all about a dude coming out of the draft since my man Terrell Buckley way back in the day.
I love him.
Which prompted, hey Romo, which prompted one of my favorite lines ever, pre-social media, maybe even pre-internet. A clone rolled up on T-Buck when T-Buck was in his prime. A clone rolled up on Terrell Buckley and said, dude, why is Rome always talking you up on his show? Why is Rome always hyping you? It's like he can't stop talking about you. And T-Buck looks at the guy and very matter-of-factly says, and I quote, I don't know, man. He just loves me. End of quote. Listen, I may not love anything the way I loved my dude T-Buck back in the day, because we were both a couple of brash young dudes on the way up. But yes, I'm all about my namesake, Rome Odunze. And I'm all about what the Bears did last night. I love what the Bears did last night. Moving along, no surprise at number two, no surprise at number three, Jaden Daniels is the new post Dan Snyder face of the Commanders, and he's an absolute stud.
What a stud!
He is a stud. Absolute stud. Drake May is the new post Hoodman face of the Patriots. Just know that the Hoodman himself is not exactly impressed with the new face of New England. Here he was providing analysis for ESPN last night. And let's just say he is not the biggest Drake May fan.
Drake May, his footwork needs a lot of work. You can see here, he's just all over the place. Never resets his feet. Never really gets in position to throw. Gets strip sacked.
I mean, damn, Bill. First of all, I had no idea you could enunciate like that. I had no idea you had command of the English language like that. I had no idea you could string together thought and sentences. But, I mean, he damn straight mocked the guy. I mean, he makes it sound like the only thing missing from that was like, dude, have you ever played football before? Is this the first time you've ever picked up a football?
Drake May, his footwork needs a lot of work. You can see here, he's just all over the place. Never resets his feet. Never really gets in position to throw. Jeez. Gets strip sacked.
Even the other dudes at that desk were like, easy, Hood. I mean, get off the dude. Here's what I want to know. Is he going to bring that same heat and intensity to everybody he sees that he feels that way about? Or was that just rubbing it in and taking a run and going back and forth still with Bob Kraft? Because if that's what that dude's about and he's going to give us that kind of analysis and he's going to be consistent with it, then great. I'm here for it. Otherwise, he just took a run at a dude because he's a Patriot. We'll see. I'll tell you what, man. He had no issue enunciating on that one. I mean, he all but said, look, the kid sucks. The kid sucks. Look at his footwork. He can't even handle that. No way would I take that guy. He's all over the place.
Gets strip sacked.
Doesn't set his feet. He's all over the place. He gets strip sacked, of course. You know why he got strip sacked? He sucks. And I'm Bill Belichick. Hood nearly went full Casserly on that dude.
Below not good.
Now, granted, yes, he had that take before the draft actually started. So technically, at that time, he didn't know that he was killing the Patriots pick, a.k.a. the first Patriots pick that he didn't make himself in like 100 years. But I mean, come on. It's not like the dude didn't know that Drake May was going to end up there. Everybody had a pretty damn good idea of how the first three picks were going to go, right? You have to think that the Hood knew exactly what was going to happen. What I'm saying is Hood knew and was throwing shade. That was the Hood continuing his tit-for-tat war with Bob Kraft. Because there's no way you could get me to believe that the Hood was shocked to see May go to New England. So he may have run all that smack at him before the draft, but he knew where that guy was going to end up, in New England. What I'm saying is he knew exactly what he was doing. So, no real surprises at 1 or 2 or 3 or 4, not 5, not 6, not 7.
Not 2, not 3, not 4.
I'll get to that guy in a minute. Then all of a sudden, one of the all-time draft night surprise bombs at number 8. Let me put it to you this way, and I'm sure y'all saw it, but the Atlanta Falcons made one thing very, very, very clear last night. They've got that big Penix energy.
He's going to bring that big Penix energy. He's going to bring that big Penix energy.
They've got that big Penix energy. I mean, seriously, these dudes must love them some Penix, because they are taking serious heat this morning for taking Michael Penix Jr. Now, I'm not saying that's a reason not to do something. You're going to get heat no matter what, almost, no matter what you do. But sometimes, and generally, when everybody goes one way, it's very logical, and I'll go the other way. But every once in a while, when everybody goes one way, it's because everybody is right. I don't know yet about this. I just know that almost everybody is going the other way. And they are taking a lot of heat, because a couple of months earlier, they threw a 35 going on 36-year-old Kirk Cousins, recovering from that Achilles tear, a 4-year, $180 million contract with 100 of it guaranteed. This is a big, big, big swing for Terry Fontenot and Raheem Morris. Now, you know, this is a big, big Terry and Raheem house. I'm big fans of both those guys. But man, that is a big-ass swing. That is a wild swing. Some would even call that a crazy swing. And one of those people might be Kirk Cousins himself. Kirk right now is probably like, Terry?
Terry?
This pick is an absolute joke.
Show
oh, my God.
Emotion,
Terry?
Silly-ass man.
Terry?
Terry?
Silly-ass GM.
Smiling,
Terry?
Terry? Never show a smile.
Raheem?
I mean, when you do, you're spanking.
Terry? Siri ass men.
Looking for those Terry.
What are you doing?
That's what you're doing.
I mean, Kirk's probably not quite that upset, but he also, at the same time, does not appear to be very happy. And I'm sure that finding out about that pick while Atlanta was on the clock last night didn't help matters. According to Diana Rossini's report in The Athletic, quote, the Falcons called Cousins when they were on the clock to let him know they were taking Penix. His agent, Mike McCartney, told The Athletic. When Cousins signed with the team this offseason, the Falcons told him they would be drafting a quarterback in the later rounds of the draft. He was stunned when they took one in the first round. And Cousins' biggest concern is that that pick doesn't help the team for the upcoming season. End of quote. Kind of hard to argue with that logic. He's got a good point there, right? Of course he was stunned to get that phone call. Everybody was stunned by that pick. Everybody is still stunned by that pick. For the record, this is Fontenot and Raheem's response when they were asked about that phone call that they lobbed to Kirk.
Whichever one of you called Kirk when you were on the clock and you tell me about it, what's his reaction?
Well, that's a private. We wouldn't share that, you know. And obviously, we
reactions are pretty private, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I got it. I got it, Tiger Woods. That's private.
That's private.
That's private.
That's private.
Doesn't sound like it went that great, though, does it?
Private.
And since when are reactions private, private anyway? Not around here, they're not.
Private.
The clones are extremely public with all their reactions.
Private.
Every single day. And they expect me to read all those reactions to the public every single day. So not all reactions are private.
That's private.
But if what Rossini is reporting is true, then Kirk's reaction is understandable, right? Because like I said, if Kirk's, quote, biggest concern is the pick doesn't help the team for the upcoming season, then I got to admit, he's got a point, right? They're built to win right now. You brought in a 35 going on 36-year-old quarterback coming off a significant injury. You're built to win right now. The team is set up to win right now. That's why he signed there, because they're built to win right now. That's why he picked them. And he wanted to go home, but he believed they were built to win right now. So you could have gotten an immediate impact player at number 8. Instead, Atlanta took the exact opposite tact, the exact opposite thing of an immediate impact player. In fact, Terry Fontenot actually tried to justify the pick by saying that it will be a good thing. Listen to this logic. And again, I love the guy, but listen to this logic. It's a good thing if we don't see Penix for 4 or 5 years.
If you believe in a quarterback, you have to take him. And if he sits for 4 or 5 years, that's a great problem to have because we're doing so well at that position. So
it's not even a good thing to take a guy in the top 10 and then not play him for 4 or 5 years. It's a great thing.
What?
What? My man, you're not helping your own cause here. So you're trying to tell Falcons fan that it would be a great thing if they don't see the 8th pick overall until he's 29? You're trying to tell me it's a great thing if the 8th overall pick does not play a game on his rookie contract?
Great problem to have.
Listen, I respect Terry Fontenot very much. I do. And I can respect thinking about the future.
Terry?
I can. But you don't need to think about the upcoming decade, man. This is the NFL, a.k.a. not for long. You don't need to plan for the next century. The dudes from this draft class are not going to make it to the next millennium, as much as I hate to admit it. And I've heard this comp, like, well, what about Green Bay? What about Green Bay? You see, unlike the Falcons, I'm sort of concerned about this dude's age. I know, and his injury history. I know he's been fine the last couple of years, but I'm sort of concerned about his age. I'm sort of concerned that he's tore the same knee twice and had surgery on both shoulders. And I don't think that it's accurate to compare this to Green Bay's method. Green Bay did not use a top 10 pick on either Jordan Love or Aaron Rodgers, nor did they pick either of those dudes just a couple of months after signing a massive free agent contract for a quarterback. I mean, it might be a draft and stash, but it's not the same thing. I guess what I'm saying is, Terry?
Terry?
So it's pretty shocking. Hell, Penix himself said he was stunned. Even he didn't see it coming. Nobody saw it coming. Penix was probably like, Terry? Is this really you?
Terry?
Are you pranking me? Is somebody punking me? Are you sure you want me at number 8? Wild night. Terry! You do know that you're on the hook already for 100 mil to Kirk Cousins. Yes, we do. Mike, you're our dude. All right, let's do this. Terry! I'm in.
Terry?
1-800-636-8686. So, I want to get into that. I mean, I could do a show on that. But I do want to talk about a number of the other first-round picks. I want to talk about a number of the other quarterbacks. I want to talk about the Bills. Hey, Bills Mafia, you can't be happy. Raider Nation, you did not get the quarterback that you needed. Denver ends up with Bo Nix. You know, we had Bo on recently. I like him. Do I like him at number 12? Maybe not. Is that the guy Sean Payton wanted, or is that the guy Sean Payton ended up with? We can get into all that. How about Roger Goodell? I thought the best take of the night came from none other than jungle legend Brian Weber. Brian Weber was on the X, and he posted, quote, "The NFL paying off Eminem to sports wash Goodell is an interesting choice." Hey, Webb, I see you.
And just that quickly.
I see you, Webb. The NFL paying off Eminem to sports wash Goodell is an interesting choice. Brian Weber, that is an interesting post. And by interesting, it made me laugh, dude.
Straight
good job.
Cash, homie, for Martin.
Sports washing Goodell. That post was straight cash, homie.
Straight cash, homie.
That is some B-Web fire, yo. Do not get on the wrong side of B-Web. Straight fire from B-Web. I'll read it again. The NFL paying off Eminem. Paying off Eminem is a very underrated part of that post. They paid him off to sports wash Goodell. Like, it even, at least Goodell is getting more and more comfortable as he gets older. Sure he's not. Could that guy be any more awkward or have any less presence when he walks up on that stage? Like, dude, haven't you done that like 20 years in a row? You'd think he'd be improving. It doesn't matter who they walk him out there with. That dude's getting booed no matter what. And, dude, you got to have a little fun with it. They're going to boo you no matter what. Eminem can't sports wash you or save your ass, Kamish. Might as well go up there and just own it. 1-800-636-8686. I got to get out. It's all right. Bucky Brooks coming up at 9:40. Kalen DeBoer coming up at 10:40. We have a ton to get done. Now get on the phone and be a part of this process. Is your vehicle no longer stopping like it used to? Restore your braking performance and save on a complete brake job right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts. When you buy Brake Best Select, Brake Best Select Pro, or import direct brake pads and rotors, get unrivaled performance and ultra-quiet stops with Brake Best and Import Direct. The professional parts people will help you find the right brake parts and supplies you need to do the job right the first time. Stop by your O'Reilly Auto Parts store or visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
All right, so really quickly, a straight take. And it's going to be a short segment, but this is a straight reaction. I'm going to read this as it's written. Quote, "I'm trying to remember the last time the Hood drafted an even mediocre offensive player. I think his opinion on offensive players should be taken with a grain of salt." Signed, Oscar G. All right, that's not exactly straight fire, but it's accurate. It's accurate and it's fair. Like, this dude, honestly, maybe the GOAT, hey, half-chowed fam, don't get upset with what I'm about to say. And for the record, you must have been upset. You had this guy's back. He can't get another job. and you're all about how he's getting jammed and how Bob Kraft wrecked him and ran a knife through his back. And then the first chance he gets, he crushes your first draft pick. I'm kind of with Oscar on this. I mean, the guy couldn't draft an offensive player to save his job. And I mean that literally. He couldn't draft an offensive player to save his job, or he'd have a job right now, right? He couldn't draft an offensive player to save his job, but here he is taking a dump on Drake May the first chance he gets. Like I always say, rich. Very rich. All right, so when you wake up in the morning, you want to feel good, right? You want to feel good because it's going to affect the rest of the day. It's going to actually affect the rest of your life. You want to feel good. Relief Factor understands this better than anybody. That's why it exists. Relief Factor is a daily supplement that helps your body fight back against occasional minor pain. It is 100% drug-free, which I love. Relief Factor, also developed by doctors searching for a better alternative for relieving pain. I love that too. I think we're all suffering from some sort of minor pain. Neck pain, back pain, joint or muscle pain. Relief Factor can help you feel better. And it doesn't just mask pain for a short time. It helps to reduce or even eliminate it. Relief Factor helps support your body's natural response to inflammation. And you'll know. In 3 weeks or less, you'll know if it's working because you'll feel the difference all day, every day. I do. I knocked out some gnarly cardio yesterday. I feel great today. Before, I would have been kind of stiff, not feeling like myself. Over 1 million people have tried Relief Factor. Give it a try for yourself. Visit ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. Save on your first order, 1-800, the number 4-RELIEF. These products and statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or condition. All right, so let me take a short time out. I've got Bucky Brooks on the other side of this. Phone lines are lighting up. I like it. If you're on hold, stay there. If not, here is your number, 1-800-636-8686.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
Obviously, an incredible time in sports right now. NFL draft continues. Postseason in the NBA, NHL, MLB. So much going on. Alabama head coach Kalen DeBoer coming up next hour. Right now, as promised, we are joined by a draft analyst for NFL Media. He is co-host of the Move the Sticks podcast. He was a second-round draft pick in 1994 by the Buffalo Bills out of North Carolina. He played 5 years in the NFL. NFL Network's coverage of the 2024 NFL Draft in Detroit continues tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern with the second and third rounds. We are joined right now by Bucky Brooks. Bucky, it's always great to have you on. Man, how are you?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Good, dude. Good. So, Bucky, let's start at the very top, if you don't mind. It's now official. Caleb Williams is a Bear. Are you convinced that he's the transcendent franchise quarterback that they have been in search of for decades?
Look, I think he's a really good player. I think he's a great prospect. I think he has the potential to be one of those guys that we talk about being a top five talent in the league. However, I wouldn't say just based on watching him that he is that transcendent player. I know we talk about generational talents and we're kind of loose with our lips when it comes to that, but every top player cannot be considered a generational talent. What he is, though, is a spectacular improvisational playmaker. He has big-time clutch playmaking ability. We've seen him do it time and time again. And he just has an aura about him that leads you to believe that he could be special. But I wouldn't say that just based on physical dimensions and overall natural talent that he's transcended now.
Bucky Brooks joining us. So what would be, there's a lot to like about him. He checks a lot of boxes. What would be a concern or two of yours about him going in?
Well, I think the concern anytime you have a quarterback is not the physical, it's more about the connectivity. How is he going to connect with his teammates? Does he have the kind of personality that he kind of leads his teammates to want to play for him? The other part I would say is just ball security. 30 fumbles in college is too many turnovers. You think about the way that you win or lose games in the NFL is literally by winning the turnover battle. So can he take care of the football? Can he connect with his teammates? And can he stay within the structure of the offense instead of sometimes getting loosey-goosey? Sandlot, I think he can do all of those things. I think it's just a matter of him being able to do it at a high level when you have a lot of pressure and expectations that come along with being the number one overall pick.
Bucky Brooks joining us. So, Bucky, when you and I last spoke, it was during the combine about a month ago, you were really, really high on Jaden Daniels. How confident are you that the Heisman Trophy winner can quickly jumpstart the Commanders' stagnant offense working with their new offensive coordinator, Cliff Kingsbury?
Well, I'm really confident that Cliff Kingsbury would give him every opportunity to be successful. When Cliff Kingsbury had Kyler Murray was Offensive Rookie of the Year. He had over 3,500 passing yards, 500 rushing yards, and looked like the number one overall pick. I would think that Jaden Daniels would look like a special player in Kingsbury's offense. He does a really good job of making it quarterback friendly. Jaden Daniels is a rare player that is capable of really beating defenders with his arm or legs. So this is, in my mind, a match made in heaven. And the fact that he enters the NFL with 55 career starts, the game should slow down for him rather quickly once he gets to the National Football League.
Hey, Bucky, if you had that first pick overall, I mean, do you like Jaden? I mean, do you like Jaden better than you like Caleb as a player?
No, I still would take Caleb over Jaden. I always thought that debate was closer than maybe we talked about. But, no, I would take Caleb number one and then Jay number two. I think that's the way I would stack him, and that's the way I have him stacked him when I rank my top five quarterback.
Bucky Brooks joining us. All right, so seemingly everybody was stunned by the Falcons' decision to take Michael Penix Jr. number eight. Were you stunned by that?
I think more so stunned, not by the connection in terms of the Falcons and Michael Penix. Maybe stunned at eight because it wasn't something that had been talked about, but just because we on the outside don't talk about it doesn't mean that it's a bad pick. I think a lot of people get really upset when teams have a quarterback and then they draft a young quarterback. But they also get upset when their starting quarterback gets hurt and then the backup quarterback can't play. At some point, the general manager's job is to make sure that this team remains competitive for the long term. It's not just a year-to-year deal. And even though it was said that Kirk Cousins was mad that they didn't get the team anybody that could help them right now, it's more than just next season. It's about really building yourself a team that allows you to compete each and every year. Taking a quarterback high is supposed to be able to do that. And I love the quarterback. I think the quarterback in that offense has a chance to be terrific. It may take a year, 2 years before he gets onto the field, but the time and investment in Michael Penix should be well worth the risk and the headache that comes along with all the conversation about them disrespecting Kirk Cousins.
Bucky Brooks joining us for talking about the quarterbacks. And then, Bucky, you've got Bill Belichick, and he might not have been able to land a head coaching job, but he's getting some media run, and he settled in pretty quickly when he took a shot last night at Drake May for his poor footwork. He said, quote, "His feet are all over the place. Everything is a runaround play," end of quote. And to me, it's not just what he said, but kind of how he said it. But then again, maybe that's just what he says or that's how he speaks. I don't know. Either way, do you agree with Belichick, and where do you come out on May as an NFL prospect?
No, look, I mean, I thought Bill Belichick brought great perspective. I know people go back and forth on him and Brady, who's more responsible. I think there's no denying that he's the greatest coach of our lifetime. And I think his perspective on Drake May is one that many NFL evaluators shared when it came to May. He is a very talented prospect. He is a guy that checks off all the boxes as the prototype. Arm talent, IQ, athleticism, the intangibles, he has all those things. But he was inconsistent at North Carolina, particularly his last season. And a lot of that was due to his fundamentals and his footwork. We can blame the offensive line and say they let too much pressure in on him, so it changed. But Drake May did not consistently throw from a solid platform. He didn't consistently show refined fundamentals. What Bill Belichick is doing is pointing out what any NFL scout would point out. He is just doing it in front of a media audience as opposed to just doing it behind the comfort confines of a meeting room.
Bucky Brooks joining me for a few more moments. You know, Bucky, what about Bo Nix? Let me ask you about him. He's the sixth quarterback taken in the first 12 picks, which is obviously pretty astounding. He goes to Denver, and Sean Payton obviously needed a quarterback. Do you think that Nix is the one who was left, or is he the one that Payton wanted? What do you think of that pick?
No, I mean, look, I think he is the one that Sean Payton wanted. And one of the reasons why is I want to say that one of his teammates was there. They had taken a seventh-round pick from Oregon the year before, and he talked about how Bo Nix used to set all the protection. Bo Nix could handle a massive volume of information at the line of scrimmage, something that veteran quarterbacks can do. Bo Nix crushed it when they had a private workout, and they gave him like little bits and pieces of the playbook to memorize, and they then quizzed him on it, and he was on it. I think Bo Nix has a lot of qualities that you like. One is experience. System one starts most by any player coming into the draft at the quarterback position. Very productive the last 2 years at Oregon. Developed some, I would say, some tough skin, having dealt with the stuff that he dealt with at Auburn in terms of the hype, being ballyhooed, being benched, moving on, to then refining his game in Oregon. To me, says that he has the grittiness that you need at the position. I think this is going to work out. It's going to work out for Sean Payton because he gets someone that can really act as his joystick as he's kind of playing the video game on offense. Bo Nix gives him an extension of himself on the field that typically leads to really, really good results.
All right, so before I let you go, Bucky, let me ask you about the Raiders. Obviously, they would have loved to have gotten a quarterback themselves. What do you think of them taking tight end Brock Bowers with their first pick?
Brock Bowers is a great pick, and the reason why it's a great pick because it's best player available pick. And a lot of times you hear general managers kind of throw that out there, and everyone is like, oh, this is coach speak. They don't do that. They're always going to find the best player in a position of need. This is obvious to me that Brock Bowers had a much higher grade than anybody else at that point, because if the Raiders wanted to, they could have had an offensive tackle to come in. But the fact that they went for Brock Bowers meant that it's a glaring red light. This dude is a top five talent. For whatever reason he slipped, the Raiders were there, ready to cash in. They cashed in. Now they have some two tight end sets to be able to throw at people that should create problems in terms of dealing with their run game and make it easier for the quarterback to identify coverages, because there are only so many things you can do against that kind of personnel package.
He is a draft analyst for NFL Media. Remember, NFL Network's coverage of the 2024 NFL Draft in Detroit continues tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern with the second and third rounds. Bucky Brooks, our guest. Bucky, really appreciate you. Thanks so much. Great job, as always.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Bucky Brooks joining us. All right, so a lot of information there. And I'll take your thoughts on that. Let me get you some reaction. And a reminder, Friday is an ATP day. Time to ask the pros. You clones get to ask me a question, and it's sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Here's something new. I got a new twist for you on this. Post your question to @JimRome, use the hashtag AskThePros on X. Then listen later on, and I might answer yours. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. All right, so put it on the X platform. Hashtag it, AskThePros. Let's see some reaction. Brian CNSP writes, Chicago, you get a quarterback. Washington, you get a quarterback. New England, you get a quarterback. Atlanta, you get a quarterback. Minnesota, you eat a quarterback. Denver, you get a quarterback. Raiders, you get a set of steak knives.
Second prize, a set of steak knives.
Bucky Brooks just said he loves that pick for the Raiders. That, yeah, if there's no quarterback available, take the best available player. So now you've got a couple of tight ends, right? But you got a great, great wide receiver. You've got a highly rated tight end. Who's going to get them the ball? This guy's great. BW_8181. Listen to what this guy writes. My hashtag. And of course he had to hashtag it. My hashtag fail clowns take still reigns 11 years later. So we've been playing that drop forever and ever and ever. Actually, fail for 11 clowns. Years, apparently. Again, Albie.
Fail clowns.
So all of a sudden, some guy comes out of the woodwork to take credit for it. And I want to call bullcrap on that, but who else would step up and claim credit for that bullcrap? I can't call bullcrap because who else would step up and claim that bullcrap? B-dub underscore 8181, still very proud of himself for his fail clown crackback.
Brad in Lafayette. Hey, Brad, what's up?
I want to talk about last night. You know, who's worse than the Giants? How about the fail clown? We don't understand.
He's back 11 years later, still claiming credit for that. He's still styling his fail clowns crackback.
Now, let me get my reps. I'm out, Jim.
You got to give him credit for his sound, too.
Fail clown.
All right, so setting up hour number two. In that second hour, I'm looking for telephone calls. I'm looking for reaction on the X platform. You can also email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Kalen DeBoer, the head coach at Alabama, joins me at 40 past. In fact, I'm going to roll him right into the big head. James Kelly and I are going to break down tonight's NBA action. Lakers beaten again, down 3-0. On the verge of being swept by the Nuggets. It's incredible. Did you ever think that you would see a LeBron James-led team beaten that many times in a row by the same team? No. They're on the verge of being swept back-to-back by the same team in the postseason. Out.